Well, turning your Bibles to John chapter 6, we're continuing, of course, our study of the Gospel of John. John, of course, shows us the life and ministry of Christ, declaring that He is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that all who believe in Him have eternal life. We're seeing His ministry is in the northern part of Israel at this time. Headquarters is at Capernaum. The crowds are coming. He is teaching. We've seen His life, His miracles, His signs, His teaching about eternal life and salvation and even death and resurrection. Well, this morning we're continuing. It's a long teaching time. It starts all the way back in verse 22, goes through the end of John chapter 6, which is verse 71. And this morning we're going to go back to about verse 48. We got to 51 or last time, but we'll go back to 48, get a running start, and go through about verse 59. So 48 through 59 this morning. Jesus talks, and He's continuing this same section. He's talking about the fact that He is the bread of life. It's the first of the seven I am statements from the Gospel of John, but we've been seeing this. The crowds are coming to be fed. But He wants them to come not for the temporal bread, the temporary bread, but for the bread that gives life, that gives eternal life. This morning we continue seeing the focus on the first of the seven I am statements. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Well, when you read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, we read some names that are hard to pronounce. I mean, sometimes they give us a lot of trouble. I have dyslexia, so every name gives me trouble. But anyway, when you look at this, we realize that the names in the Bible usually mean something. They usually deal with the character. Think about this. The name Abram meant high father. Abraham went father of many nations. Daniel means God is judge. Joel means the Lord is God. Isaac means laughter. Jacob means deceiver. His name was changed to Israel, which means prince of God. Solomon's name means peace. Peter means the rock. Just as the names of people give meaning, we realize that the names of God in the Bible give meanings about God. There are several names of God that sort of stand out, both in Old Testament and New Testament. In the Old Testament, Adonai, which has the idea of a ruling one, or Elohim, which is just the name for God. In fact, the plural name for God. And in the New Testament, the name Kyrios, which is the word for Lord or deity, and Theos, which means God. But there's one name that seems to stand out throughout the entire scripture. It's the personal name of God. We call it Yahweh or YHWH in Hebrew. It's the word in your Bibles. It's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It refers to the ever-existing one, the eternal God. It's used over 7,100 times in the Old Testament. It is the main name of God. And as I said a while ago in our Bibles, when you see all capitals, L-O-R-D, that's the word that is used, YHWH. We believe it comes from the root word Hayah, the word for I am in Hebrew. And His name is the idea of I am. Remember when we studied the book of Exodus and we saw that God said, Moses said to God, who do I tell him sent me? God said, I am who I am. Tell him I am sent you. The I am is really a personal name of God. And so even when we're seeing these I am statements by Jesus, when He says, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the resurrection of life, I am the way, the truth, and the life, He's really using God's name. He's saying, I am the bread of life. He's saying to the Jews, and they knew exactly what He was saying. He's saying, I'm God. I'm God who's the bread of life. In this section, we're seeing the first of the seven I am statements found in the Gospel of John. I am the bread of life. I am the God who is the bread that brings life. And we'll see more about that a little bit later. Let's think about where we are as we get into our study. For the past several weeks, of course, as we've been looking, Jesus has been at Capernaum. He's been teaching. The crowds are coming to Him. He has just fed the 5,000 on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. But He wants them to not just want bread, the temporal bread. He wants them to have the bread of life, which gives eternal life. And in this long section, we've seen several things. About 22 through 40, the crowd as a whole, and then 41 through 59, the Jews, the religious leaders are there. And then about 60 to 71, He's going to directly deal with His disciples, and we'll see that. The key is that Jesus is declaring that He's the bread of life. And to be able to put this together, we have to understand that Jesus is teaching the people, and we slowed down a little bit these last several weeks, taking just about 10 or 11 verses at a time, seeing how it fits together. There are some foundational truths that we have seen over these weeks, over these times. We've seen that He's talked about salvation and eternal life. He's talked about security. He's talked about His sovereignty. We've seen the idea of resurrection. We've talked about His incarnation, becoming a person. All of these He declares as He says, I'm the bread of life. to be able to put this together, we need to think about the Gospel of John. You remember, there are four books, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew presents Jesus as the king. Mark presents him as the servant. Luke presents him as the man. But John presents him as the Son of God. In John 20, verses, basically, at the very end, 30 and 31, he said, there are many other things that Jesus did, many other signs that Jesus did that are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing, you would have life, everlasting life. In this book, there are the seven signs. We've seen five of them. We have the handout for you, which, as you know, first of all, the living waters, pick those up, hand those out to people. They're the Gospel of John, but it's also got the grace message of salvation in there. And as they read the Gospel of John, they can trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. So use those as ways to share your faith. We also have the handout, the outline on one side, the seven signs and the seven I Ams. We've seen five of the seven signs so far. We're now on the first of the seven I Ams, and it's very powerful. Let me think about the seven I Am statements for just a second. I am the bread of life. He shows he's the life giver. I am the light of the world. He's the light in the darkness. I am the gate, the entrance to life, security, and fellowship. I am the good shepherd, the great shepherd, guide and protection. I am the resurrection, and basically resurrection and life. That's victory over death. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way of salvation. I am the true vine. That's the power to produce fruit. So he has all of these, and we'll see those as we go through the Gospel of John. There's a lot there. Intertwined with the seven signs, the seven I Am statements. And so it's very powerful. Let me give you the outline for this morning. Jesus is the bread of life, verses 48 through 51. We've seen that a little bit, so we'll just kind of get a running start. And then we see the response by the people when Jesus said, you know, you must eat the bread and drink the juice and the wine, and they begin to argue. And so he teaches about eating and drinking and living forever, and he does this in the synagogue, and we'll see how this ties together. Well, let's get the flow. They've come looking to be fed. You remember he just fed 5,000 on the other side? And I said, let me say it again, 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. There may have been 15,000 to 20,000 people. They've come back over to Capernaum. The people are all looking for him. They got there, and they said, when did you get here? And they want food. They want the food. And here's what he said in verse 33, he said, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. He says, bread, the real bread, not the bread that I just fed you with, the bread of God, that's him. I've come down out of heaven and I give life to the world. They said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. They didn't grasp it. So here's what he said. Verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. I am, remember that, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never in no way ever hunger. He who believes in me will never in no way ever thirst. He said later on in verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him, this is the key, believes in him will have eternal life. It's always that way. It's always by faith. We ended last time. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. And so he says, if anyone eats this bread, they will live forever. Now, this is a key, and we've been seeing it over and over in the Gospel of John. You've got to just stop and think, what is he actually saying to them? He's saying, I'm the bread of life. You eat me, which means to believe in me, you will live forever. The bread that I give you, the bread that we ate on the side of the hill, and the bread that you can eat that, but you're hungry again the next day, and if you don't get enough of that, you'll die physically. The bread I give you, you'll never hunger or thirst again, because I'm going to give you life forever. Powerful truth. Well, let's see their response for him saying that. And to do that, let's just get a little running start. Go back to verse 47, because look what he said. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, and remember we've talked about it, anytime you see truly, truly, it means stop and listen. This is something very important. He says, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. That's the key of the book of John. The key of the book of John is believing and you have life. Faith, life, Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. There are many other signs Jesus did, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you might have life. He who believes has everlasting life. And everlasting life means exactly what it says. It means life forever. It never ends, never changes. You have everlasting life. He goes on to say, I am the bread of life. And that's his third time he says it in this little section. I am the bread of life. I am God who gives life. And then he uses the contrast. Your fathers ate the man in the wilderness and they died. They ate regular bread. They ate bread from heaven, but it was regular bread. It was bread and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat it and not die. I'm the one that came down out of heaven. And when you eat me, is what he's saying. When you eat my bread, when you eat me, you will never die. It's a powerful truth. It's a powerful truth. And he says in verse 51, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. Anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. If you eat this bread, you live forever. I think there's a couple of things stand out. One is he gives spiritual life. Whenever you believe in Jesus Christ, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. We're made alive spiritually, but he also gives a physical life aspect because he's conquered death. And by his death and resurrection, he conquers physical death as well. All who believe in him will live forever, not only eternally in a spiritual way, but live forever in a body which he raises from the grave. Now, they have to realize this. He's saying, and they're grasping it, that he is bread, the bread of life, and if they eat him, they will live forever. He's saying, and of course, to eat him and to drink him means to believe in him. They haven't got it exactly, and they're going, what is he talking about? And we know that this is the crowds and people and the religious leaders, and they're all going, what is he saying? You know, he's saying we're supposed to eat him and we live forever. So look at verse 52. Then the Jews begin to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? What is he talking about? The Jews begin to argue. The word argue there really means it's an intense arguing. It's sometimes even used for a fight. It's the idea they begin to go back and forth. What is he talking about? They were contending with each other over the statement that he says you have to eat me. And they're saying, how can this man give us his life, his flesh to eat? They miss the point because he's not talking about literally eating. He's talking about, I think the next slide, they miss the point. He's not talking about literally eating him, eating food. They're talking about taking the bread of life, which is believing in him for eternal life. Just as real bread gives physical life, to eat the bread of life, Jesus Christ gives eternal life. This is the bread from heaven. Jesus is going to come back and he's going to say some really hard things. And we thought it ties right into the Lord's Supper when Jesus talked about this is my body and this is my blood. Look what he says in verse 53. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, remember again, anytime you see truly, truly, it's something to listen to carefully. He says, truly, truly, listen carefully. I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. See, you have to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood to have life. And they're not grasping it, but what he's saying is, listen, you have to understand, eat the flesh means you realize that I came down and I'm God who's got a body and I'm going to take sin upon myself and I'm going to pay for the sin, and drink my blood is to realize that I'm going to shed my blood as the payment for sin. I'm going to die and rise again. I am the Messiah, the Savior. Eating and drinking is taking the Son of Man for life. And two things to think about, that life comes through Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you are saved and saved forever. And one of the great truths about that statement is there is no other way of salvation. There is no other way ever in any place except Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. There are not a lot of ways to God. There's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. So life comes through Christ, but the picture of eating and drinking means taking Jesus is the idea of believing, trusting in him as Savior. He goes on to use this picture. Look what he says in verse 54. Let me go back to verse 53 again. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. They look at it like, what in the world is he saying? And then he says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. And you understand that that's the way he's saying to believe, because he said exactly the same thing when he says, whoever believes in me has eternal life and I will raise him up on the last day. That's verse 40. Here he says, who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life and I will raise him up on the last day. To eat the flesh and drink the blood is to believe in him as the Savior. That's what he's saying to them. He who eats my flesh, drinks my blood, has eternal life. I will raise him up on the last day. And then he says, for my flesh is the true food and my blood is the true drink. They're going, what is this man saying? And then they begin to get the idea that, wait a minute, he's saying that he's the way. He's the salvation. His body, his blood, he's the Savior. We must come to him if we're going to have life, if we're going to have eternal life. It's by the body and the blood, by the death and the resurrection, spiritual life and physical life. It's simply by faith. He says in verse 55, from my flesh is the true food. Not the bread I gave you on the side of the hill. Not that bread. That's not the true bread. My flesh is the true food. My blood is the true drink. Bread gives us temporary life, but Jesus Christ gives us eternal life. He has left the glories of heaven to become a human being, to have a body so he could take our sin, and to have blood that could be shed to pay for our sins. And that's why I said you must eat my flesh, drink my blood, and you have eternal life. Now let's stop for just a second briefly and think about what he's saying here is just a foreshadow of what he's going to say right at the end, right before he goes to the cross, at what we call the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, the Passover meal. That's when he then says that night, he looks at them and says, take this bread. This is my body. This do in remembrance of me. This is this juice, this drink. This is my blood. And so we see that the Lord's Supper is a picture of the same thing that he's saying here. We've just celebrated the Lord's Supper, which deals with our fellowship, but it goes all the way back to the death and resurrection of our Savior. We talked about it this morning, that we said Jesus came to the earth, died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. His body was bruised and crushed for us. His blood was shed for us so that we would have eternal life. And when we think about the Lord's Supper, it's the aspect of salvation by faith in Christ. And then for us, it's also the aspect of fellowship. The idea there is his body and his blood not only gives us an eternal life relationship, but it is communion and fellowship as well. He said, this is my body. This is my blood. This is the foundation of the new covenant. And he refers to his death and his resurrection, which brings salvation and the relationship and fellowship. So think about this. By faith, eating the body and the blood, we have eternal life. We have an eternal life relationship with Jesus Christ. It's with him forever. When you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you are eating the body and drinking the blood, and you have eternal life. Second, by faith, eating the body and the blood, which is the Lord's Supper, we maintain fellowship with him. That's one of the things that he told at the end. This is my body, this is my blood. Do in remembrance of me. As often as you do that, you remember my death and resurrection. You remember what I did for you to give you eternal life. And this whole thing is the way that you maintain your fellowship with me. The picture of his flesh and blood ties together with both salvation and fellowship. Look at the union in verse 56. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. There's a connection. When you eat and drink, when you believe in him, you abide in him. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says that when we believe in Jesus, we're placed in union with him. When we take the body and the blood, when we believe in him, we have eternal life. It all comes back, as he says in verse 57, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who eats me, he also will live because of me. Notice what he says. As the living Father sent me. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven. God loved the world. God gave the Son. It is the Father who sent the Son into the world. The Father came up with the plan. The Son carried out the plan. The Holy Spirit reveals the plan. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ so loved us, he came and died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment so that we understand these truths. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, that believes in me, he also will live because of me. I hope and pray, and I know almost every one of you in this room, but I hope and pray that you have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. And as this verse says, he who eats me will live because of me. I hope every one of you in this room know that you have eternal life because you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And as John would say, or as Jesus would say in this passage in the Gospel of John, you have eaten His flesh and drank His blood, believing in Him as Savior. Life is in Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the bread of life. And so He says in verse 58, "This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever." This is the bread that has come down out of heaven. He's talking about Himself. That exactly the right time Jesus Christ came. We think of Christmas and we think of the Christmas story of the baby being born in Bethlehem. That is Jesus Christ becoming a human being. That's John 1:14, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. He says, this is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate. Here's the contrast. Not as the fathers ate and died. Not as manna. Manna came down out of heaven. But it's not the same because they ate that and died. But He's the living bread. He's the bread who came down out of heaven. Whoever eats this bread lives forever. Every one of us in the room ought to be going, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life. We have eternal life. We're by faith in Jesus Christ. This is the greatest thing of all. I can hardly wait to get out there and tell people. Because what do most people think? Most people think, well, you got to do something. You got to go to church. You got to be good. You got to get baptized. You got to walk down an aisle. You got to be willing to turn away from your sins. You got to be doing these following things. And then maybe somehow you can be saved when the Word of God says you believe in Jesus Christ and you have eternal life. He who believes in Me has eternal life. Jesus Christ is the true bread that's come down out of heaven. And whoever believes in Him will never perish but have everlasting life. When we go out these doors, think of what we have. We have the greatest message of all time. It is not a message of works. It is not a message that we're going to tell people to clean their lives up, get their act together, start doing this, do this. We go out to people with a message of grace, and we tell them that God has loved them with an everlasting, unconditional love, and He loved them so much that He sent His Son to die in their place, and He died and rose again, and He paid for their sins, and He conquered death, and He offers as a gift to them the gift of eternal life. It is by grace that you are saved through faith. It's not yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should ever boast. Take the Gospel of John's. Take them to people. Hand them to them and say, read this. Let me know what you think. Look at the back. This says, can you know you have eternal life? Would you like to talk about that? Do you know if you were to die, are you going to go to heaven? What will a lot of people say? They say things like, I hope so. I think I might. And you can say, would you like to know for sure? You got the message. Jesus Christ. Verse 59, these things He said in the synagogue as He taught in Capernaum. This whole section is Jesus teaching in the synagogue. People coming to Him and saying, we want some more bread. And He says, no, you're missing the right bread. There's bread that is temporary bread, and there's bread that came down out of heaven. I'm the true bread. You eat Me, drink Me, you have life forever. What have we seen? Jesus Christ and the I am statement of I'm the bread of life. And they missed it. They didn't grasp it. And they're talking about eating and drinking. He says eating and drinking is believing in Me. And I place you in union with Me and you're saved forever. And that whole idea. And when we think about these great truths, we need to be ready to share our faith. So let me give you some applications. And that is understand the importance of the I am statements in the Gospel of John. Understand those statements. See, because I am is the name for God. And so when He says, I am the bread of life, and I am the light of the world, and I am the door of the sheepfold, and I am the good shepherd, and I'm the resurrection and the life, and I'm the way and the truth and the life, and I am the true vine. He's saying, I am. I'm God, and here's who I am. I'm God who is the true bread. That you eat Me, you're saved forever. He's the life, the light, the gate, the shepherd, the resurrection, the way, the truth. Understand the importance of these I am statements. Second, come to Jesus Christ as the bread of life. I hope and pray every one of you in this room have already come to Jesus Christ as the bread of life. He gives eternal life, spiritual life, and even physical life through Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. When you believe in Him, and as He says in this passage, you eat and you drink, you trust in Jesus Christ, you believe that He's the bread that came down out of heaven that'll give you life forever. He's the drink that you drink that you'll never thirst again. All who come to Jesus Christ have eternal life. I hope and pray that every one of you in this room, that if you walk, when you walk out these doors, if somebody were to say to you, are you going to heaven? Or do you have a relationship with God? You'd say, I have eternal life with Jesus Christ because I have trusted in Him as my Savior. The third thing is understand the picture of eating and drinking. It's a little confusing. In fact, some people read this, and in fact, and what did the people say? They said, what is He talking about? We can't eat Him. What is he saying? But understand that it is the idea of believing in Him. And throughout history, there's been confusion. After Jesus died and rose again and ascended to heaven, and the church started, and the church would celebrate the Lord's Supper, and they would talk about eating and drinking, rumors spread that they were cannibals, that they ate people. There were some rumors about them in the first century because they would talk about eating the body and drinking the blood. What is the idea here? It's the idea of believing the body and blood of the new covenant. It's both salvation, our relationship with Jesus Christ, and fellowship, our communion with Him as well. It ties together in that way. Jesus said, eat and drink and you have eternal life. By faith in Him, we are saved forever. And then as we did this morning, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we remember back to His body and His blood. And not only does that, the idea of eternal life, but it also is our fellowship as well. May we come to Jesus Christ, the bread of life, trusting in Him, trusting in His body and His blood so that we may have life, eternal life, spiritual life, and physical life. And as we go out these doors, let's tell people the good news truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great passage. Thank You for these truths. Lord, thank You for the I Am statements in the Gospel of John. May we understand them. May we be excited as we read through the Gospel and we see these things and know how they fit together. Thank You that the bread of life is Jesus Christ, and whoever believes in Him, eats and drinks, will have life forever. Lord, I pray that everyone in this room is trusted in Christ. Lord, as we go out these doors, that we tell people the truth. May we understand what Jesus meant when He said, eat My flesh and drink My blood. It was the idea of to believe in Him as the bread, the true bread and the true drink that would give eternal life. Thank You, Lord, for these truths. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.